everybody, welcome back. It's coverage season. It's your guy, Easy Ollie.
It's your boy, D-Dub. And it's been a while. It's been a long time, you know, since we've seen you guys, since we heard from you guys. Taking a little hiatus, but things ended off in a good term last year. We got to do a lot of things, explore, and we're going to do some more of that this year. And we're going to, you know, expand some things on the show. But let's get into this first episode for season two. Let's get it.
That's right. That's right. Season two is underway, and we got a good show for you guys lined up today. But let's quickly talk about the AFC West. Let's start with the defending champions, the Kansas City Chiefs. And like I said, our last episode, the season finale, season one, I said they was going to win. They, you know, I knew they were the better team. And I told you if at the end of the game, if Jimmy G had to win them the game, he was not going to do it for the 49ers and, you know, for the Chiefs. They've been very quiet this offseason.
It was close.
Yeah, it was very close. So far this offseason, they, you know, they haven't made too many moves. But they're bringing back 20 of the 22 starters from last year.
And which is perfect. It could, because, you know, it's
– Yeah, I mean, there's going to be a lot of continuity. There's going to be a lot of consistency with the guys in the locker room. And, of course, you know, the big loss so far, in my opinion, was the loss of Kendall Fuller, him going to the Washington Redskins.
Yeah.
I thought that was a big loss for them because he was probably their best corner. And I think he's much better than people think he is. I think he's very underrated. So I think that in the draft, actually coming up, I think that's what they need to target. I think they do need to target, you know, getting the corner, you know, to help that back end of their defense.
Yeah, I think they will go out there and try and grab a corner. But you got to think about it too. They did add to the offensive line Mike Remmers from Kansas City, from the Vikings. So.
Of the Vikings. He played with the Giants last year, Mike Remmers. That's true. A good addition.
Yeah. So, you know, that's just one piece of the offensive line, but at the end of the day, their defense needs a solid piece. You put somebody next, you know, a real nice number two corner right next to Tyrann Mathieu that could bring him up to a potential number one corner, you know what I'm saying, that in the late first round, because, you know, With the pick that late, you could still get like a number two corner right there in that prime pick.
Yeah, and then, you know, you look at a guy like Jalen Johnson from Utah, in prime position to get a guy like him. He's a big body corner, 6'1", who's got some good speed on him. So, you know, that's definitely a good pick for the Kansas City Chiefs. And I like how you brought up some of the needs that they had, you know, the Kansas City Chiefs. You said that they needed a cornerback, they needed a wide receiver, a linebacker, a guard and tackle. I agree on that. Expand on that a little bit, man.
Yeah, man. I mean, the fact that, you know, where they are in the second round and even in the third round, you know, it's like they still could pick up some nice solid pieces. It's not like they're losing much, because remember 22 of the starters from last year coming back, so they could play a real lax on you know, this draft. They don't have to be really aggressive or anything like that. The main thing now is, you know, to keep and get everybody healthy and wait for next season. But at the end of the day, they, you know, if they can get another, I don't know if they're gonna go with another wide receiver. I mean, they might do it for depth. But I don't think they're going to try and replace any of the wide receivers. They got Robinson coming back. I think they're going to let it play out in camp whenever, you know, that resumes. But
yeah, and I agree. I think that for wide receiver, it's pretty much depth purposes why they would get a wide receiver in the draft. I think that's pretty much to secure and make sure that, you know, in case of an injury, you know, suspension maybe, not saying that they're, you know, they're going to get suspended or anything like that, but, you know, in case of an injury, something, you never know. You know, you have depth to back that up. But, you know, I definitely agree with that assessment, man.
Yeah, man. What do you think that, you know, the losses that they've sustained thus far, What areas do you think that they can make some, you know, some pickup game in the draft?
I think the most important to me, man, is the offensive line. I think even though that, you know, they won the Super Bowl, I still think that's a weakness of the team. I think that getting Mike Remmers is not a fix. He didn't play great last year, and, you know, he has a injury history with his back. So, you know, that's just like putting a Band-Aid on the problem. And I think to me that they've got to address the offensive line. And, you know, I think that would help them in the long run going into the future, you know, not only for the protection and the success of the team, but for the availability of Patrick Mahomes. You know, you got to protect that guy. You got to keep him upright. You know, quarterback can't play if he's, you know, on his, you know, falling down on his back all the time because he's getting tackled and sacked. But, you know, that's what I think, you know, as far as the Kansas City Chiefs go. You know, the other team in the AFC West that, you know, I'm really excited about.
The Raiders. You know, let's get it.
The Las Vegas Raiders is what they're called now. They're no longer the Oakland Raiders.
So, I've seen the stadium. The stadium is beautiful.
It looks nice.
The stadium is absolutely beautiful. You know what it looks like? It looks like a tinted visor. I ain't going to lie to you. It's really, really beautiful. Like, from the outside, from, like, seeing it during the day, like that's what it's looking like.
I can't wait. It looks like something that you build in, like, Madden or something.
Exactly. It looks like a gemstone from the outside. It looks really, really nice. But let's get into these picks. The Raiders are in a they're in a nice spot. They're in a nice spot. Let's just put it that way. They could do a lot this year. Even though last year, you know, they started really, really on, like, a short run, limited. They can build on that because they just lost their steam. They really did. This year they can add some pieces, some glue to get everybody together. I think that, you know, they could trade up if they really wanted to. But I don't know. You don't really have to trade up unless you really see something that they really need. Like, if they really wanted to, they could trade up to get, you know, a wide receiver to add, really. But they don't really need to. At number 12, you could sit and you're going to get a good wide receiver. And also, they also have the number 19 pick. Is that's right? Yeah. Yeah, so you can go and build your interior as well, or even your defense, and grab a linebacker. That's something that, you know, granted, you can't replace a generational talent. You know, you let him go to the Browns. I'm
drawing a flush.
Khalil Mack. Wow. Yeah. Thank you. But, you know,
it's the quarantine, man.
The quarantine. And also, you know, they didn't do much of an impact last year. They were on a short hiatus too. But yeah, you know, back to the Raiders, like, you know, you could really replace a linebacker in that pick at 19. And I think that even with those two picks, if they really wanted to, they could trade up. But right now, that those are the positions that they really, really need.
I mean, I agree. I think, to me, the number one thing that they need is a wide receiver. That's mm-hmm. first and foremost. I like what the Raiders have done this offseason so far. To me, so far, I think that they can win the division going into next year. I honestly have the Chiefs going at 8-8. And we'll expound on that later. They're a 500 team to me, I think, next year. But the Raiders, I think, have taken another level. I think that they're going to be better you know, than some of the teams in the division, some of the teams in the conference, believe it or not. I think with the additions of Corey Littleton, the best coverage linebacker in the NFL, in my opinion, and then, of course, you add Nick Kwiatkowski, I think they just got the right guys.
You're right.
They went and grabbed Demaryius Randall to replace Carl Joseph. Mm-hmm. I mean, these guys, they loaded up on defense, man. I think that they're about one or two wide receivers away from being a real complete football team.
Yeah, and the only thing that I don't like that they did, they went and grabbed Nelson Aguilar, to be honest. I think he's too much of a safe pick.
He's a security guy.
He definitely is a security guy right now. I think he can get dropped or he can get traded. But
yeah,
knows?
I don't think he's you know, going to be much in the game plan. I mean, you know, he had a long career in Philadelphia. He had a couple of big plays in Philadelphia throughout his career. You know, he's never been the number one guy. You've seen how that has worked for him as the number one guy.
Like you said, he's a security blanket.
He's a security guy. But, you know, as we come to an end for first down, we got a guest for you guys coming up in second down. So you already know, take a break, do what you do, grab a drink. We'll be right back.
Let's get it. All right.
Second down. You know, just going over a brief recap of first down. You know, there's a lot of movement going on in the AFC West so far. You know, I really like the Raiders. I think the Raiders had a really good offseason.
Your Chiefs also making some small moves, not doing too much, but, you know, keeping it real small. When you're a winning team, you don't really got to do much.
Right. And as we go ahead and start second down and get to the other two teams in the AFC West, the Chargers and the Broncos, we're actually going to bring in our first ever guest, David Cisneros of Wasted Talent Sports. Let's bring him in.
Hi, David. Thank you for coming.
I appreciate you guys having me on, man.
Yeah, I got a question for both of y'all. What do y'all think about the Chargers?
Ollie, you first.
For me, I'm impressed with the Chargers. I think for a guy like Anthony Lynn, he's no longer
tangled or in any type of relation with Phillip Rivers anymore.
Yeah.
I feel like that was definitely holding him back as far as the type of offense he wanted to run. And being a former running back coach, former running back himself, he likes to run the football. And I think that says a lot with them keeping Austin Ekeler and not Melvin Gordon. He wants to have a downhill type of running system, especially with that defense. I mean, their secondary can stop anybody. And in this day and age, I think the two keys to having a good defense, not only do you have to have a good edge in order to pressure the quarterback. You don't really get lost with sacks. Yeah, people do get lost with sacks, how many sacks people get. Pressure counts just as much, in my opinion. And I think that they have the solid edge with Ingram and Bosa. Those dudes are unstoppable. I think if you have that and you're able to shut guys down in the secondary, if you got guys in the secondary who can cover for 5 seconds, 5 to 7 seconds, that's all you need.
Yeah.
And I think they have all guys that are capable of doing that. And I think that, to me, they're the dark horse team.
Yeah, like I said, I mean, I don't know if Tyrod Taylor is the guy that can take them all the way, but I know he'll be a lot better than what Phillip Rivers has been the last couple years. So, and they're in a tough spot too, because, man, they got a lot of people that are going to be free agents next year, and they're going to have to spend a lot of money. So I think Bosa, Ingram, Keenan Allen, like, they're all up next year. So they're going to have some tough choices.
They're gonna have to pay
it's kind of like their name right here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're going to have to pay Derwin James. Right. Like, you know, they're going to have to pay a lot of guys. We saw that they even let Adrian Phillips go, who was a damn good safety. They let him go, and that's because they got to choose who they want to pay. And to me, I think that is a great point. I think that, you know, they have to be smart about their future and how they mortgage their future. And just like letting Melvin Gordon go, I think was essential. You know, think letting Phillip Rivers go and not paying him a boatload of money to come and turn the ball over was essential as well. And
that's where it comes down to. Yeah, and that's where I think they're going to go with the rookie quarterback, because then they can have a rookie quarterback on that rookie contract and have him under control for 5 years at a cheap price. I mean, it's kind of what the Chiefs did. They had a stacked team already, then brought in Mahomes on a rookie contract, and they capitalized on it, built a great defense last year, and they capitalized on it before they got to pay Mahomes a shit ton of money. It was a smart way to do it. And I think Chargers are kind of in that same position.
Right. Now, and D-Dub, I got a quick question for you, D-Dub. I know that you really liked what Melvin Gordon brought to a team last year, and you were really high on him as far as him in the overall scheme of the Chargers offense. With him moving on, how do you think they recoup? Because I still think they need to get a running back in the draft. But what do you think they do moving forward?
I do think they need another running back. But at the same time, Melvin Gordon was – he was your punching guy. At the same time, he was like that goal line running back. You knew if it was on goal line, just like beast mode, if it was, you know, just a few yards, he was getting it in. You can give it to him. He can go across, go on the outside and go over the top. It was easy like that. Now, his yard average wasn't all that. You know, we already talked about that. It was squash. Right. It was trash. But I think they're gonna be able to find this draft is full of running backs. There's no shortage. There's a lot of running backs coming out of this year. And with the pick that they have, it really depends. They're not gonna go. I really think that they should go for a quarterback, hands down, the first round. No doubt about it.
I agree.
Depth of the running back, especially, you know, most of them are gonna be, you know, late first round, early second round, and they'll be able to pick somebody up. I think they'll be able to recuperate just fine. Melvin Gordon wasn't the key piece. Yeah, he held out. I think that if he was there in the beginning of the season, it could have gave him some kind of upswing, but not much of an upswing that everybody thinks, like, oh, he was great. Shit, nah.
I told you, I've never been a fan. But talking about Melvin Gordon, that, of course, leads us to our next team, your home team. The Denver Broncos. The past year, it was a down year for you guys. You guys didn't make
it. It's been a down couple years, man. It's been
pretty bad.
Hold on. Before you get on to like the down years, let me just clarify this. Let me get your opinion on this.
Okay.
What do you think about the leadership in Denver? Do you think John Elway is doing the right things? He's making the right moves as far as, you know, draft picks and moving personnel?
You know, it's complicated, man, because I don't know if you guys are familiar with, like, the ownership situation with the Broncos, but it's like some Game of Thrones shit going on, like these kids, dude, like, fighting over the team. It's crazy, dude.
That's every team right now.
Yeah, but, like, because Pat Bowlen, he's been incapacitated because he had Alzheimer's, and so he kind of gave control to Joe Ellis, who's kind of acting as the owner right now. So a lot of people, like, I know a lot of the blame goes to Elway, obviously, because he's the most recognizable figure. But a lot of it comes down to Joe Ellis as well. But, I mean, John Elway, he's done some good things. He's done some bad things. You know, 2016, 2017 drafts are just awful. There's no way to put it. But I think the last two, three drafts have been pretty good. And his free agent signings, I mean, he keeps them in a good situation as far as cap goes. So they're never cap strapped, you know what I mean? So – I think if Drew Lock hits, man, then it makes everything else look better than, you know, it's just how it is.
Yeah. Okay. And I'm glad that you brought up Drew Lock. And to me, he played well down the stretch. He went 4-1. He won four games and lost one game. That's good. That's above the bar. This year he's gonna have, you know, the upcoming season, whenever it starts, hopefully, he's going to have a full training camp, full OTAs, full access to the playbook. It's going to be his first time as the lead dog. Mm-hmm. How do you think he reacts to that? What do you think that's going to be for him coming up?
You know, you bring up an interesting point about the OTAs, because with this whole – I mean, OTAs are going to be starting here soon. You know, and if this whole shutdown thing keeps going on, then I think that's going to kind of – that could be a bad thing for him. I don't think it's going to be the end of the world, but I think any sort of reps you can get with teammates and in that playbook with Shermer, because they got a new offense coordinator, so he's got to learn this whole new offense. And, you know, any rep you can get with him, and, I mean, that's valuable. But, yeah, I mean, to your point, this is going to be his first year, which I'm actually really encouraged, because – I wasn't a big Drew Lock fan last year. Like, I didn't want to draft him. But he kind of fell in the second round. I was like, fuck it. But one thing I would say about him is he improved. Like, every game, like, he got better. And he didn't turn the ball over the last two games. And he just kind of took what the defense gave him. And Rich Gangarella didn't really call games for him to show off, except for the Texans game where he blew up. But other than that, dude, he was just hanged. And they don't have weapons. They don't have enough weapons. They got Sutton and Fant. And that's really about it.
Right, yeah, man. Right. Once y'all got rid of DT, I was like, I'll finish, man. Mm-hmm. That was, come on.
Well,
man.
DT was already older, you know.
Yeah, and yeah, Sanders, and I think. And I think a lot of people, man, I was looking today earlier on Bleacher Report about, you know, free agents that could still help teams, and I saw the Demaryius Thomas name. And to me, they've been struggling since the year they won the Super Bowl as far as getting wide receiver. And to me, I think that year they barely got there in terms of what they were getting from their receivers. I think that's one thing that they've lacked to address. I know they've missed on a couple of offensive linemen that they've drafted. I was sad to see Connor McGovern go. I thought he was starting to play well at the tail end of last year, especially with Drew Lock. I felt like he was a big part of protecting Drew Lock, opening holes for Peyton Lindsley at the end of the season. And to me, I think that this year, the way they're building it, I think that they have to attack offensive line and they have to attack wide receiver. I think, though, to me, those are their biggest needs. At quarterback, I think I'm okay, and the biggest reason being who they have now at offensive coordinator and quarterbacks coach. If you look at Pat Shurmur, you look at Matt Shula, if you look at the quarterbacks that they've had the last couple of years, even, you know, though as a head coach, his record wasn't good with the Giants, their quarterbacks play well. Cam Newton under Shula played well. They went to the Super Bowl. Shurmur, he had Case Keenum, his best year to date. You know, they played well. He had Carson Wentz, I believe it was at the beginning of Carson Wentz's career in Philadelphia. So, and he just had Daniel Jones. So these guys can work with quarterbacks. You know, that phrase quarterback whisperer that people always throw out there, I think that it's a real thing with those two guys. So I think that they got the right guys with Vic Fangio. He can focus on defense and let these guys take care of the offense. Because I think Pat Shurmur is a great offensive coordinator. He's just not a great head coach. And now he has a chance to be an offensive coordinator and just worry about that. And I think that it's going to be well. I think Denver makes the playoffs this year. I think that I don't like Melvin Gordon, but I think he adds depth to the team. They got a bunch of additions this year on the defense, and I think that those additions will help. And D-Dub, we talked about this one the other day, the Jarrell Casey and A.J.
Jarrell
Bouye.
Casey two, and A.J. Bouye.
Two that, veteran
that's the,
guys.
That's the two biggest additions. Okay.
Yeah.
You knew you were getting – Chris Harris was not going to stay. So how do you go out there and make some kind of acquisition to replace him? And Chris Harris left, and you bring in A.J. Bouye, who had a great year. I mean, you had Jarrell Casey come in, and that fills in the defense, especially, the line. That's something that they really need, especially Von Miller not there no more.
Ooh. Well, Von Miller's still here.
Is he?
He's still here, for at least another year.
Yeah, he was just hurt.
Bradley Chubb was hurt last year.
Bradley Chubb is going to be back.
Yep.
Bradley Chubb is going to be back. And D-Dub, this is another one. This was big. They got Graham Glasgow. That was huge. Mm-hmm. After losing McGovern, you get a veteran guard in there. And to me, I think those are their biggest needs. And David, you know, I have those at the top of my list, wide receiver and offensive tackle for their needs. I think that's what they need the most. And I would sneak in tight end in there. But I think that Noah Fant is probably going to play a little bit better. Because to me, I think when you have a young quarterback, you got to have a good young tight end to play with him and help him grow. So, I mean, what are your thoughts on what you think Denver needs?
They need speed. They need a receiver. To me, everything comes down to what are the Chiefs doing? Because when I look at the Chiefs, man, they got just speed everywhere. I think, like, their offensive linemen run, like, 4.3s. On that team, and that's just ultimately what leads to mismatches. And you look at these guys, they're wide open all the time. Tyreek Hill wide open all the time, and Broncos don't have anybody like that. So I think getting somebody like Judy or Ruggs or even someone like Jalen Reagor, I think would be or even Denzel or Mims, I think would be good for them too. I understand people want them to get an offensive lineman. Right now they got Bowles. They're not gonna let go of anytime soon. He's okay. And they got Juwan James, who they paid all kinds of money to last year at the right tackle. So they got to see what they got there. He was hurt last year. So it sounded like he kind of bitched out a little bit, but he was kind of milking the injuries, what it sounded like. So I think they're not going to get a tackle this year unless one falls to them. But I think next year that'll probably be the priority. But what they've done in, like, free agency, they didn't even touch wide receiver. So that tells me they're probably going to go wide receiver or cornerback. I think they'll need more corner depth as well.
Yeah,
especially in this division. Indeed. You know, the Raiders with the receivers, yep. the Chargers with the receivers, the Chiefs with the receivers. You guys are going to need some
help,
especially at the corner. I mean, A.J. Bouye is definitely an addition, but I think that you guys should draft a young guy out there.
Yeah, and that's what somebody like C.J. Henderson might be in the mix, you know. I could see them going any of those three directions. I know people keep bringing up Kinlaw, but I don't see them going there.
I think he would be a nice addition to that defensive line. I think he's a big guy. He's a big guy. He eats up space, and I think that they could go ahead and play him at the nose tackle, and let those guys on the edge go crazy. I think having a healthy Bradley Chubb back, Von Miller on the outside, and then you have Jarrell Casey who can set the edge for you. I think that's a great pick, but I think that they should address defense, to me, in my opinion, later on. I do think they need a cornerback. But D-Dub, I got a question for you, which is a big question, man. I know I think they can make the playoffs. Do you think they can make the playoffs?
Do I think that the Broncos make the playoffs? Yeah, I think they sneak their way in. I think they get a wild card spot, low key. And I think they're very, very capable, especially if they address those needs, like you said, like an offensive tackle. And I do believe in Drew Lock. As much as people, you know, couldn't see it, 4-1 is not enough time to really to show how much ability that he has. I think this year he's gonna have a breakout year. Pat Shurmur has
the offensive came right player. Off IR, you know.
Exactly. And to take a team that wasn't winning and go 4-1 in the back end of the season, it shows a lot. Determination. Mm-hmm. But Pat Shurmur is gonna lead him in the right direction. He knows how to, like you said, Ali, how to deal with young quarterbacks. Coming off Daniel Jones, the New York Giants situation was a debacle in itself. I think if he had a few more solid pieces to surround, you know, the quarterback situation over there, not just, you know, an all-star running back. Running backs can only do so well. You know what I mean? You need an offensive line to block. Same thing in Denver. Denver needs to address the offensive line situation. And once they get that, I think they'll be in a nice, solid position because the defense, they held up, you know, they held up their end of the deal. It's just hard when the defense is on the field the whole time. When your defense is on the field the whole time, your offense is not you're not helping out. But I definitely think they get a wild card spot.
Right. And David, before we let you go, I have one last question for you. Are you impressed with Melvin Gordon?
You love throwing him out there.
Oh man, Melvin Gordon. I mean, I'm okay with it, I guess. I think he's a little bit pricey liking. And a lot of people, especially here in Denver, they want to make it about Philip Lindsay. Like, oh, what does this mean for Philip Lindsay? I'm like, nah, I think it's more about how they feel about Rory Spriman. Like, Rory Spriman has been very good.
Let me put it like this. I said this all last season. I mean, you can hear it all last season. The dual running back system is the way to go. It's the way to go no matter what. You got Lindsay, your first, second down back, and then you got Melvin Gordon as a third down back. What's wrong with that?
I see, but I think what they're gonna do is opposite of that. I think they're gonna have Melvin Gordon be the every down back. And to me, Philip Lindsay, he's not useful in the passing game, so I don't know what they're gonna do there. They pay Melvin Gordon all that money, so that tells me they're gonna start him.
I think so too. I think Melvin Gordon, when it all comes to it, I think he's going to be lead back. To me, though, who I think is most disappointing for is Royce Freeman. I don't know why nobody else likes Royce Freeman. Oregon has a history of having sneaky running backs come out of it and be productive running backs, and he's one of them. I think he's a great runner, running back. He can block better than Lindsey in the passing game. He can catch out of the backfield. He's more durable than Peyton Lindsey. So I just don't get it. I don't know why they're not using him and bringing in Melvin Gordon. I just think he's just getting in the way.
I think the problem with Royce Freeman is he doesn't have the necessary speed to really change the game or be a mismatch in the passing game, which, I mean, that's what it all comes down to, is how can these running backs perform in the passing game? And I think the other problem with Royce Freeman is how much he was used at Oregon. I think it's finally caught up to him. Like, he had a lot of carries at Oregon. So I think he's just kind of worn down at this point. And I think Melvin Gordon kind of brings a power dynamic. Melvin Gordon is what they wanted Royce Freeman to be, and Royce Freeman just didn't end up being that.
Right. I definitely agree. Well, David, it was a pleasure, man. We definitely appreciate you stopping by.
I appreciate it, man.
It was real good. We would love to have you again. Man. Shout out to anybody you want to shout out there. You know, let everybody know.
Yeah, man. Hey, and when I get my podcast up and running, you know, you guys are always welcome to come on, man. I mean,
you're going to
be looking
for
guests. We're going to be looking for guests. So
you already know, man.
My boy AJ Lopez will be, we'll be starting it soon. This whole coronavirus thing kind of fucked everything up. I mean, you know how that goes. But we're going to try to find a way to make it happen, which I think we will. So I appreciate you guys having me on, man. It was fun. It was a good time.
No problem. All right, man.
Appreciate it, Denver,
man. Stay safe out there.
Right. You too, guys. See ya.
Later. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Welcome back. Third down. Ali, you know, in the first half, we had picked up on, you know, the AFC West, but now we're going to get into the AFC South.
That's correct.
A lot of teams, a lot of moves, especially with Houston. Houston has done, man, why don't you get into it? Because what's going on in Houston, I really don't know. You break down what you think, what's on Bill O'Brien's mind, or what the team may be thinking, and what direction they think they're going in.
Well, I mean, first and foremost, to me, I think it's time to start over at the top. I like Bill O'Brien as a head coach. I think he's a decent head coach. I think he's had some success. They've been to the playoffs the majority of the time that he's been there, albeit that they haven't had much success in the postseason, but they need a GM. A guy who's wearing two hats for an organization is rarely ever seems to work. It's only happened in two different sports for one team for a long period of time. You look at the NFL, Bill Belichick has been the head guy in New England, and he's the head guy. He's general manager, president. He's the damn, you know, head coach. He can do it. You know, we've seen in the NBA, we've seen guys like Greg Popovich with the Spurs do it. You know, he's been the top dog there. He makes the decisions who they pick up. And that's it. Like, you've never seen that anywhere else and you outside of those two guys. And I think, similar to the NFL, you've seen guys like Doc Rivers try to do that, be president and head coach, and it didn't work out. And now you see it with Bill O'Brien. You know, he's trying to be the head coach and the GM at the same time. It's not working out. However, for the Texans, I don't think the loss of Hopkins is as bad as people make it. To be quite honest, I think that even though they're going to take a cap hit this year, I think that they've removed themselves from having to pay him significant money again in the future. I think the addition of David Johnson is good for David Johnson and the Texans. You know, ever since Arian Foster left, they've been really searching for a top dog at running back. And Lamar Miller, you know, with the injuries, didn't make it. Carlos Hyde, he had a good season last year. But, you know, they didn't resign him. So I think David Johnson is going to be a good piece for them, you know, coming up this upcoming season. I think he's in a new scene, and I think it's going to be good for him.
Okay, well, here's the thing. I think, to be honest, I don't think David Johnson is going to get the starting job. I would,
Carlos Hyde is gone. Lamar Miller's probably,
before you interrupt, I'm gonna pull a swing out here. I think that the Houston Texans, if they play it right, they can go and get a sneaky pick and pick up DeAndre Swift, and you could have a dual running back system there in Texas. With the number 40 overall pick, it's not unlikely. You know, it's only, you know what, the fourth, it's only like, it's still in the top 10 in the second round, which I think that's where, you know, DeAndre Swift is going to land. I don't see him going in the first round, because, you know, running backs are not really needed in the first round, and Houston doesn't have a first round pick. But I do think that they have the possibility of picking him up. I don't see him landing anywhere else right now, inside the first round. But with the addition of Randall Cobb, you know, you do have a significant impact with a veteran of his caliber coming to your wide receiver core. But it doesn't replace what they did with DeAndre Hopkins. DeAndre Hopkins is a generational talent. He's a one of a kind. You also, you know, your defensive line, you let go of DJ Reader. You send him to the Packers, and you also let go of Jonathan Joseph in the cornerbacks. So the cornerback position is definitely a need. So with Houston, I definitely think they need an edge rusher, because at the end of the day, as much as J.J. Watt has been doing his thing, need somebody to compliment him. You know, when you had Jadeveon Clowney, he only had one really, really good season out there in Houston. Really, really prone. You need to come out and, you know, replace that and get the defensive line to really, really get it on par.
And you know, one thing I do want to add to that is, and we talked about that earlier in the segment, building a strong back end. I think that even with the loss of Jonathan Joseph, I think that they did good. You know, they picked up a pair of corners from Tampa Bay and Miami, getting Gaines and Hargraves. You know, I think those were
Hargraves is a good pickup.
Pickups for their secondary. I also think that, you know, adding Bradley Roby to the secondary was a big addition for them. But, you know, to me, I think, going back to Randall Cobb, it wasn't a good addition until they got Brandon Cooks to it. Even though Brandon Cooks has been injury prone the last couple of years, he's still a dynamic piece that can, he can open things up for their offense, especially with guys like Will Fuller still there, Kenny Stills, who kind of came on and started building a rapport with Deshaun Watson at the end of the season. You know, I think those things were good for them. But, you know, I definitely agree with them at edge. I think when they're going into the draft, the top three things that they need to focus on is wide receiver, defensive tackle, and edge. I think that they need to shore up those positions, especially defensive tackle, like you alluded to earlier, saying that they let DJ Reader go. I thought that was a mistake on their part, because he's an up-and-coming, dominant interior presence.
Yeah. But you also got to look at it like this. They did – I mean, granted, their status on, you know, all the moves off season get a D. Like you said, they did add some defensive presence. You know, they did they added Jalen Watkins. They signed him. They also got Eric Murray, which wasn't really a home run, but it's fine for at least depth wise. You could still fill it out in the draft. You know what I'm saying? Because they got picks in the second, third, fourth, fifth, and three picks in the seventh. So the seventh round is really where they're going to make their bread and butter, especially filling out the defense, you know, possibly picking up another corner and a safety. Because at the end, you know, Tyrann Mathieu, you know, leaving the Texans, that's a big hit. Granted, you know, you still need depth there at the safety position.
I think so, too.
So I could really see them. And you know, like you said, the defensive line, they need to fill. I think they really need to fill in, get a defensive tackle and an edge rusher. The interior has been weak. You know, with no JJ, there's not really that much pressure. And you see how gassed they get from being on the field, because, you know, their offense can only do so much, is limited. But like I said, if they do go in, you know, the second round and get a high caliber running back like DeAndre Swift, their offensive line is not terrible. They have a solid offensive line.
It's much improved.
But with DeAndre Swift, a solid caliber running back, David Johnson coming over from the Cardinals, I believe when healthy, can produce the same numbers that he did with Arizona. That combination is going to be lethal, especially with, you know, you could have DeAndre coming out the backfield on you know swing routes and you know short routes coming across the middle. He's very lethal. He has very, very good hands. I to be honest, I can't say that, you know, the Houston Texans are in a bad position. Yeah, you know, the trades that they made.
I don't think so either. I think they're still in a proper position to win.
Yeah, the trades that they made were unexpected to all of us, but at the end of the day, it is what it is.
Yeah. I definitely think so. But you have right behind them the Colts. You think the Colts are the second best team in the AFC South. We've been talking about this guy pretty much all day, and we're gonna bring him into the conversation again, Phillip Rivers.
Yeah. Phillip Rivers. We had talked about him the last go around. But at the end of the day, Phillip Rivers was a quarterback stuck in a situation that, you know, that never really got turned around. They you know, when they drafted Melvin Gordon, they had a nice little run. You know, they had the receiver core, but they were always short. And I feel like with Phillip Rivers, with the change of scenery, some new receivers, I think that, you know, they're going to give him the opportunity to lead the team, but also for when I think they're going to pick up a quarterback next year, because at the end of the day, he's only got so many years left. You can have a guy like him and Jacoby Brissett have a Jacoby Brissett take a step back, because he really did take quite a hit on the latter half of the season. He really wasn't performing that well at all. And plus, in the beginning of the season, nobody expected Andrew Luck to up and retire. Nobody expected that. That was a hit. If you Luck and Brissett, you know, you were thinking of a combination of an older guy who, well, I can't say older guy, a guy with the older mindset. And Andrew Luck, he was really, really that. His intelligence is superb. And a younger guy like Jacoby Brissett to make a transition. I don't think Jacoby Brissett got the transition that he really needed to become a fully developed starting quarterback.
I don't think Jacoby Brissett is I think he's a capable guy. I think he could come in and he could, you know, lead your team to seven wins.
He's no Teddy Bridgewater. Let's put it like that.
Yeah, like I think he can win you at most 7 to 9 wins. I don't think he's a guy that can take you past 7 to 9 wins unless he goes back to New England. Right? That's it. But, you know, to me, they didn't lose any key players, the Colts. They did not lose many. Their offensive line is stellar. I think this is probably going to be the best offensive line that Phillip Rivers has ever had, and that's straight. You know, I think that they do need to upgrade at running back, and a guy that I actually think goes to them is DeAndre Swift. You know, later on in the second round, I definitely think that he's a guy that could help them. Also, I think the addition of DeForest Buckner, he's not a guy that everyone's talking about and things like that, but he's a dominant interior force. I mean, the dude is 6'8", 295 pounds. I mean, he's nothing but a brick wall, and you know, he's got some pass rush moves, and you know, he can, you know, definitely get into the backfield. I think he's a big addition. I think they're going to be in a much improved team depending on what they do in the draft. I definitely think that they need to, if they can, Jordan Love, if he slips to them in the third or fourth round, I think Jordan Love is a guy that they might want to pick up. I think that they definitely need to get a quarterback. And they definitely need to address the running back position.
At the end of the day, you know, the only loss that they, I mean, I can't say loss, but You know, they got rid of Pierre Desire, that one of their corners, but they did pick up Xavier Rhodes.
He was one of their better corners.
Yeah, yeah, one of their better corners, but they picked up Xavier Rhodes. But I'm going to go off of that. You were talking about DeForest Buckner, and he is a notable pickup, like you said, a great addition to the interior. It's a nice pickup for them. And I know you were trying to get into the other AFC team that we've been, you know, holding off on, the Jacksonville Jaguars. They got some notable losses.
More than notable.
AJ Bouye, Nick Foles, Calais Campbell, Marcel Darius. Like, they lost guys all over. You know what I'm saying? And you can't forget that they traded Jalen Ramsey too. So they have their corner game is really done. They shot. They really need to, you know, move things around and you know, fill those pieces.
And I definitely agree. I mean, if you're looking at the big board, they have the number 9 overall pick. So to me, I think first and foremost, they need to address cornerback, and Trayvon Diggs is who I have my eye on coming out of Alabama. I think they need to go ahead and jump right on that. I know they love their linebackers. They got a hole in the middle. Even though they did pick up Joe Schobert from Cleveland, I still think they have a hole and they need to, you know, put somebody next to him. Because I think Miles Jack is, of course, better on the edge. And I think with him, with the loss of Calais Campbell, Josh Allen can't fill the void by himself. So I think you need to have Miles Jack on the other side of him to at least get some type of pressure. We know about the Yannick Ngakoue situation. Mm-hmm. He's tagged, but he doesn't want to be there. So, you know, they're looking for trade partners on that front. So, to me, I think in the draft coming up, they definitely need to address cornerback with that 9th pick. But they also need to figure out what they can do in terms of getting Ngakoue out there and getting some draft capital and value for him. You know, they got a lot of losses, man, even from the front office. Tom Coughlin's gone. They got a new GM in there now, you know, running things. And you know, it's going to be interesting. I think they're going to have a different season, you know, than expected. I think they're not going to be very successful next year. You know, they got a lot of contracts that they also need to think about. Leonard Fournette is going to be a free agent. His rookie deal is going to be done. DJ Chark, he's going to be, you know, their number one guy. So what are they going to do? Are they going to, you know, get somebody else, you know, to help them out? You know, what are they going to do on offense to surround Gardner Minshew with talent? I think it's going to be a very questionable year for them. I think they're going to be a team that's down in the lottery again come this time of the year next year.
With their draft positions, I think that's something they could address and, you know, the first and second round to help them out, you know, D-line and possibly a linebacker or a corner, like you said. They really do need some help, especially defensively. The loss of Calais Campbell is big, and to replace that is it's not going to be easy.
It's going to be tough.
And like you said, Leonard Fournette, next year his contract is coming up. So they really have things to decide upon in trying to surround Gardner Minshew with talent, like you said. I think this year he had a few good games. He had a few good games. They're all right.
He did.
But I think everybody was on the Minshew mania. You know what I'm saying? We really gonna be able to see what he really can do, because once Nick Foles came back, I mean, it just really wasn't the same. But he struggled in a few of the games, but once they, you know, surround him and solidify him with some real pieces, I want to see how he, you know, adapts to that, because Leonard Fournette can't be the only weapon. You know, their wide receiver game is never healthy all the way through. But Chark, like you said, is a nice asset for them to have. They just need to build around him and get somebody on the other side for him so, you know, free things up.
Yeah, most definitely. Then, of course, the last team, you know, I got a smile on my face because my adopted son, Ryan Tannehill, showed up. I told you, he showed up last season and he brought them boys all the way to the AFC Championship game. The Tennessee Titans, man, they had an interesting offseason ahead of them. You know, they had to decide what they were going to do with, Derrick Henry, what they were going to do with Ryan Tannehill, how they were going to do things. And to me, they did a good job. They got Ryan Tannehill a deal for long term. I know some people are upset about Henry getting tagged and not extended. I think it's okay so far. You know, people getting tagged in a bad way. They know he's a valuable piece. They know that he has, you know, he doesn't have extensive tread on the tires, because he's been sparingly used up until last year, you know, in the offense. Mm-hmm. And to me, I think they just want to make sure they structure a proper deal. You know, running backs don't have great longevity. You know, it's not something that they've had throughout history. And to me, I think he's one of those special kids that haven't been hurt or anything like that. So I think he's going to be, you know, they're going to extend him long term. But I really like what they've done this offseason, you know. They did have some losses on both sides of the ball, but not many key pieces. I think their linebacker core is phenomenal, and they kept that together. The Jarrell Casey trade, I think that was okay. I think that gives them salary cap relief going into the future, and it gives them a chance to make some moves. Vic Beasley was a low-key addition. You know, Cameron Wake, you know.
But you can't gone, forget. You can't forget. They also, you know, like you said, TJ Sharp. You know, the loss of a wide receiver too. You know, that also.
I think it's okay. I think it's okay.
I think they could go out there and get somebody. I think they can go out there and get somebody.
It's a very, very deep draft for wide receivers. And if I'm the Tennessee Titans, that's my first pick this year. My first pick this year is to get a wide receiver, because you do have Corey Davis, who had an okay year, but A.J. Brown had 1,000 yards receiving last year. And I think he's going to be the number one guy coming into the season. So, to me, I think you just need a complimentary guy. You know, you can get a guy like Denzel Mims at the bottom of the first round. You can get a guy like Jalen Reagor at the bottom of the first round. You know, LaVisca Chenault at the bottom of the first round. So, there's guys that you can get that will just seemingly fit into this offense. And to me, I think that they put themselves in a good position. You know, in terms of team needs, I think top of the list, like I just said, is wide receiver. I would definitely add a piece to the defensive line. And then, of course, you know, get somebody in the secondary. They did not re-sign Logan Ryan. So, you know, he's, you know, gone. So, it's going to be interesting to see what they do at cornerback and wide receiver in the draft.
Yeah. And with that, that brings us to an end of third down. We'll take a break. We'll be right back.
That's right. And of course, to end the show today, we're just going to go over potential draft picks for the teams that we discussed today. Starting with the AFC West, the Chiefs. They got the 32nd pick. And to me, if I'm the Chiefs, you know, number one concern for me is cornerback. You know, I'd put tackle, you know, up there as well. But I think, being at 32, you know, you're not really going to get a tackle that's probably going to start right away, maybe. You never know. But I think I'm going to go with a cornerback. And if I'm the Chiefs and that Andy Reid in the war room, you know, I'm trying to get somebody. And I think somebody like C.J. Henderson from Florida would be available for them. You know, I think he's a guy who can come in and compete right away. I mean, as you were saying earlier, to get somebody in that secondary alongside Bashaw Breeland and Tyrann Mathieu, you know, and Ward, you know, it really gives them another piece in that secondary to help them, you know, continue winning. So, you know, if I'm the Chiefs, that's what I'm doing at 32. What about you?
Well, yeah, I agree with you. 32, I'm definitely trying to pick a corner because at the end of the day, their secondary has been the weakest part of their defense because, you know, their forefront has been doing a pretty steady job of, you know, putting pressure on quarterbacks. But it's that secondary getting beat deep, you know, being up 30 points and, you know, all of a sudden, you know, it's almost getting close and, you know, just having a win by, you know, just a margin, it, you know, those type of things or being down, you know, it's crazy, you know, that they play in such a cohesive environment, even when they're down or when they're up. But you need to see that their corner position is their weakest link in that defensive chain.
Yeah. And of course, continuing with the AFC West, next up, the Raiders.
We got the Raiders. You've been talking about the Raiders a lot. You've been talking about the Raiders because they got a lot of potential. They got two picks in the first round, number 12 and number 19. And we went back and forth about this. To be honest, I the Raiders have such a unique position. They could trade up if they want to, but we're not even going to go there. Their real need is offensive, you know, on the offensive line and their defense. They, you know, you can't replace, you know, Khalil Mack, but at the end of the day, you can still go out there and get something viable because you got two picks in the first round. So I think they go offensive tackle on with a number 12 pick and, you know, probably a linebacker with the number 19 pick. What do you think, Ali?
Well, to me, I think if you're in Las Vegas, number one needs to be a wide receiver. You know, I think to me, if you're in position to get somebody like C.D. Lamb at 12, or, you know, I don't think and I know a lot of people are talking about C.D. Lamb being on top of Jerry Jeudy, but I still think that they have a chance and they're in prime position for it. To get somebody like C.D. Lamb if he's available. And then, of course, at 19, I think they need to get a tackle. I think they need to keep on building that offensive line as much as they can. You know, it's imperative that they do that. So, to me, at number 19, that's what they do. And I see somebody like maybe a Josh Jones from Houston available. You know, I think, you know, if they're in that position at 19, I don't think they're going to get any of the top tackles. But you don't want to reach. And I think somebody like Josh Jones is a safe pick. You know, I think, you know, Andrew Thomas might be there, but, you know, I think another team is going to grab Andrew Thomas before 19.
Okay. And your other favorite was the Chargers. And, you know, we had talked about this before. You think they go quarterback here at number 6?
As far as the Chargers go, six, I think it's pretty simple. 6 is take Justin Herbert. He'll be available. I think, you know, I've heard, you know, through reading on Bleacher Report, ESPN, and seeing other guys tweet it, it's a real love affair between the Chargers and Justin Herbert. And I think if you have that opportunity, prime opportunity at number 6 to take him, then go ahead and take him. You know, if not, if you choose to go another route and you think Tyrod Taylor is your guy for the future or, you know, for the next couple of years at least while you're contending and you don't want to bring a young guy in, then I say, you know, go get a running back. You know, go get a running back or get a piece, you know, on the offensive line. But, you know, I think it makes sense to go after Herbert at 6.
I'm just thinking about, you know, with some of the speculation that, you know, the Giants have really want to, you know, take an offensive line. So do you think they could try and maybe fill in that interior mid-secondary at the linebacker position and possibly get Isaiah Simmons instead of a Justin Herbert?
Well, to me, it all depends on how the draft plays out.
There are plenty of quarterback options out there.
Yeah, they are. You know, if they decide to go elsewhere, you know, somebody like Jordan Love from Utah could fall down to them. So, you know, to me, if they're in a position where the Giants don't take Isaiah Simmons at 4 or trade back and somebody else jumps there, you know, Miami's not going to take him at 6. If you're thinking of plainly getting the best player available, then yes, you go get Isaiah Simmons. Because not only is the defense already dangerous, you add a piece like him to that Chargers second level on the defense, and you know it's gonna be dangerous. I mean, he's a do it all, you know, jack of all trades type of player. So I think if they, you know, if he falls to them, I think that's a no-brainer. But, you know, I think to me that's not going to happen. I think he's going to be chosen within the first four picks. But, you know, as far as the Chargers go, I think Herbert's their guy.
Okay, and then we go on to the next team, the Denver Broncos with the number 15 pick. Ali, this is clear to me. They need to fix that offensive line. It is completely terrible. They need to pick up an offensive tackle. I've been saying it, that, you know, the Broncos are not what they used to be, but offensive tackle is the way they need to go. The only thing I could see them is going really aggressive with the corner, but I don't see them doing that. I definitely see them picking up an offensive interior guy, maybe a guy who could play the guard and the tackle spot. But that's what I'm picking up right here, number 15 for the Broncos. They need somebody to help solidify that front, so the younger guy can come in and, you know, make some impactful plays.
I was a little split on this for the Broncos. I definitely agree. I think they need to upgrade the offensive line, but they did make some moves. Going out in the offseason to get Graham Glasgow to kind of, you know, get a veteran guy into that spot. But to me, I think they can go one of two ways. Whatever John Elway thinks works best for them. I think they can go offensive tackle and get a guy like Andrew Thomas at 15 from Georgia. To me, I think he's one of the better offensive tackles. I know people don't talk about him, but, you know, I think he's definitely solid. I think he's a day one ready tackle if he gets picked by the Broncos. And of course, to me at 15, if Henry Ruggs slips down to them, I think they need some speed on the outside, you know, on the wide receiver core. Cortland Sutton, he played well last season. He had 1,000 yards. Deshaun Hamilton, maybe he steps up, you know. But I think they can get a wide receiver like Henry Ruggs out there. And, you know, I think that's what the Broncos do. I think they're in the mix of either going tackle or wide receiver.
That is a valid pick. If he's still available at that time, who knows? But I do agree with you on that. That is a solid, solid pick for them on the wide receiver position to line them up on the outside. Quality guy. But the next two – I don't know what was going on. The Texans, for them to give up a number one guy and not even get a number one draft pick, that it doesn't make any sense. I don't even know what they were thinking. The Colts, on the other hand, you know, they already used their first round draft pick and, you know, DeForest Buckner.
So essentially,
the next team is the Jaguars, who have two picks in the first round. And I, to be honest, Ali, I'm not gonna lie to you. I really think they go wide receiver, offensive tackle, because, you know, with Chark coming back, you can line up another guy on the outside at the number nine. I don't see Jerry Jeudy falling that low. It's a possibility he could. He is from Florida. We could see it happen, but. They could get a wide receiver at that spot, and then with the 20th pick, I can definitely see them going offensive tackle, because Leonard Fournette needs an interior guy who's not afraid to block and get to the second level. That's exactly what he needs, because the way that these guys have been falling apart, and, you know, the pieces that they've been missing, I think that's a solid piece to put in front of Gardner Minshew, and that would give him the time he needs to develop, especially his second season. What do you think?
I agree with the tackle. I definitely think they need a tackle at 20. And I think that's what they're going to do at 20. I think they're going to go ahead and get a tackle for the protection of Gardner Minshew. I think that's a needed move. But at number nine, I think what they desperately need right now is a corner. And to me, they're in prime position. Jeff Okuda is not going outside of the third pick. And to me, the next best corner on the block is Trayvon Diggs from Alabama. And I think that he's going to be the pick for Jacksonville. I think they need to get a number one corner. He has the potential to be that number one corner. And of course, at 20, like I said, I agree. I think they go ahead and get a tackle Ezra Cleveland from Boise State. He's definitely somebody who he's a little unpolished right now. You know, he's not fast with his hips. You know, he doesn't bend too well, but he has a lot of potential, you know, and I think that he's somebody who can come in and compete for the starting tackle job for them. So, you know, I definitely like that, their chances of getting, you know, a tackle, number 20. And, of course, the last team that we're going to talk about, of course, in the AFC South, the Titans, the defending, you know, AFC competitive partners to the Chiefs. I think that they're going to, of course, make it to the playoffs again next year if they continue what they were doing towards the end of last year.
Oh, yeah. They got a lot. They got a lot they can do this year.
Ryan Tannehill and Derrick Henry. And to me, I think that's where they continue at 29 in the draft. I think they continue building around Tannehill and Henry, and they add a guy like Baylor's Denzel Mims. I think he'll be available. This draft, it has no shortage of wide receiving talent, and I think he's one of the more underrated players, and I think the Titans can scoop him up at 29.
Yeah, you know, I had a tough time with this, and I had two options for them, but my first thought for them was going real bold and going for a defensive player, a safety, because they're, you know, their secondary, they don't have a leader out there right now. I think they can go out there and draft a guy, maybe somebody like, you know, Jeremy Chin. Mike Vrabel is a defensive coordinator, and you know, he would know how to use him really, really, really effectively in that secondary and turn him into a young leader among those guys. But you could also go defensive tackle. I think that, you know, the defensive forefront can be solidified maybe with another outside rusher or an outside linebacker.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. You know, with the Titans, they could definitely choose to go with a defensive tackle. I think that, you know, even with the loss of Jarrell Casey, you know, trading him to the Broncos, there is a little bit of a void there. So there's still things that they can do. But they really like Jeffrey Simmons, their draft pick from last year, which was one of the bigger reasons why they traded away Jarrell Casey, because Jeffrey Simmons, he played pretty well down the later part of the season. And, you know, he was a big impact in the playoffs. So, you know, I think they really believe in him. And, you know, they can definitely add another piece to the edge outside of, you know, getting Vic Beasley. But, you know, I think they have a lot of options at 29, you know, even being that far back. But, you know, everybody, it's a wrap. We're going to be back for another show. You know, it was a pleasure. Of course, once again, we thank Davis Cisneros for stopping by.
Appreciate you.
We'll catch you guys later.
Later.